This is a special report from ABC Radio News.
Old Abe Lincoln came out of the wilderness, out of the wilderness, out of the wilderness. Old Abe Lincoln came out of the wilderness, down in Illinois.
Things are wearing a warm complexion, but McKinley's going to win. He'll be the hero of this election. The way he'll beat 'em will be a sin. Keep cool and keep Coolidge is the slogan of today. Keep cool and keep Coolidge for the good old USA.
I like Ike, and Ike is easy to like. Stands alone, the choice of all the people.
This is a program about the Republican Party. The party of Lincoln, McKinley, Coolidge, Hoover, Eisenhower, and Goldwater. A party in search of identity, 1 year after it suffered the most disastrous political defeat in history. This is the story of the Republican Party in search of the mainstream.
There have been charges that Senator Goldwater could be becoming a captive of the radical right.
I don't know who's captured who. And I wouldn't, I would think that this is a matter which is can be best handled by the Republicans at this time. Then after we have a convention and a candidate, then I would discuss it in some detail.
That was the voice of President John F. Kennedy more than 2 years ago, looking forward to meeting the Republican candidate in the presidential campaign of 1964. It was said that John Kennedy hoped it would be Senator Barry Goldwater. History and tragedy intervened to give the Republican nomination to Goldwater, but to deny John Kennedy the chance he wanted to debate the basic differences between the two political philosophies, to take part in a debate between liberal and conservative. The 1964 campaign is history, but the liberal versus conservative battle is not. The news department of the ABC Radio Network presents In Search of the Mainstream, an examination of the Republican Party, where it has been, where it's going, and who will be leading it into the future. This is Baden Langton, ABC News, New York. The Republican Party is looking ahead to the elections of 1966 and 1968. The party looks forward with hope, but that hope is tainted with a memory of things past, of the overwhelming defeat of the party's national candidates in 1964. Out of the gloomy memory of defeat comes the fundamental question of whether the GOP will be able to rally round its banners and go on to victories in 66 and 68. There are some indications that the Republicans could have a fair chance in those elections, but first it must deal with the ghost of 1964. To put the future in its proper perspective, we look back to 1964. July, San Francisco. New York's liberal Republican governor, Nelson Rockefeller, speaking to the platform committee of the Republican National Convention.
This is no time for platitudes or mere generalities. The issues confronting us as a nation, both at home and abroad, are far too serious to be treated so summarily. Nor can we expect the American people to entrust their future to a party that is vague in its objectives and uncertain in its program, or out of touch with the realities of the rapidly changing world in which we live.
Governor Rockefeller was fighting an uphill fight, opposing Arizona's conservative Republican Senator Barry Goldwater. He was speaking to a strongly pro-Goldwater platform committee, and Governor Rockefeller spoke of the party of Lincoln and its role in civil rights.
The Republican Party must reaffirm its deep moral conviction that such federal legislation is essential to justice and equal opportunity for all Americans, and that it is not only consonant with, but expressive of, the spirit and the language of the United States Constitution.
Rockefeller pleaded with the Republicans at San Francisco to keep the GOP in what Rockefeller called the mainstream of American politics. The GOP, he said, was rooted in the basically liberal philosophies of Lincoln, Wilkie, Dewey, Eisenhower, and Nixon. He asked the 1964 convention to turn away from Goldwater conservatism. It was a losing fight, carried on single-handed by Rockefeller until boosted in the final moments by another Stop Goldwater candidate, Pennsylvania Governor William Scranton.
The reckless comments of the senator from Arizona in the area of war and peace have now become a matter of grave national concern. We are no longer dealing in a simple game of politics. even the best interest of the Republican Party is no longer the overwhelming issue. Now we are talking about the welfare of nearly 200 million Americans.
But neither Scranton nor Rockefeller nor other GOP liberals, such as Senator Kenneth Keating or Henry Cabot Lodge, were able to stop the Goldwater bandwagon. When he came before the platform committee, Goldwater could sense victory and began appealing for party unity.
I say, let the creative differences, even in your own committee, help you build a platform, not tear down the party. Now, as I've often said, I would not presume to ask compliance with any detailed desire I may have. I hope you will entertain no such demand for compliance from any member of this convention or of this party. You and you alone must speak for the whole party. You must seek a document that will unite us on principle and not divide us.
But those divisions were not to be overcome, and something Goldwater said to the convention itself made reconciliation impossible. Goldwater said,
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
As the GOP convention cheered its candidate, the solidarity of the Republican Party, under severe stress during the 1964 primaries, finally gave way. Many Republican candidates refused to support the national ticket. Rockefeller, Keating, New York Congressman John Lindsay, and other statewide and local candidates stayed away from the Goldwater coattails. But the Goldwater people seemed oblivious to the divisions within the party. Senator Everett Dirksen said,
Oh, no, that doesn't bother me. Because people didn't support Wilkie. People didn't support Eisenhower. People didn't support Nixon. Those are the verities of our political existence.
Senator Dirksen believed 1964, like other election years, would see a uniting of the party eventually.
Republicans are already at work resolving their differences. A united Republican effort in all the 50 states and the District of Columbia will be achieved. The Republican Party starts his campaign cast as the underdog. So be it. However, elections are not settled in July, but in November.
But what happened in November was defeat. The Goldwater ticket was swamped in a deluge of votes for the Democrats, and the GOP recorded the worst defeat in its history. Those who had opposed the GOP's swing toward conservatism with Goldwater were quick to say, I told you so, Governor Scranton.
I pointed out before San Francisco the things that Senator Goldwater stood for, at least as I understood them, that I did not stand for. These are still and always have been, with me, the same.
The GOP's fatal mistake, Scranton said, was in embracing the extreme right of the political spectrum and avoiding what Dwight Eisenhower had once called the middle way. Scranton said,
I don't want ultra-extremists in our party of either right or left. And I've made that very clear many times, too.
And so the Republicans began looking around, measuring the extent of their defeat and scanning the horizons for new political leadership. The grand old man of the party, General Eisenhower, was asked who might lead the Republicans.
I don't think it'll be a completely recognized party, a leader of the party, until there's another convention in 1968.
Nonetheless, Eisenhower thought there was abundant talent for future GOP leadership, talent from the ranks of the Republicans who did not endorse the Goldwater ticket, from the roster of men who ran on their own in 1964. Eisenhower said,
there'll be a lot of them. They come, and even some of the men they're defeated, like Taft and Percy and Wilkinson. All of them are very good men, and they swam across the tide, against the tide very gallantly and almost won.
One of those who ran against the Democratic tide in 1964 was GOP Congressman John Lindsay of New York City.
The thing you have to remember is that if the two-party system is to be viable, strong, healthy, and good for the country, that the Republican Party must rebuild. If it doesn't rebuild, well, the two-party system obviously isn't going to be as healthy as it should be.
And so, in the ruins of the defeat of the Goldwater slate in 1964, the Republican Party began its search for the way out of the political wilderness. Some were optimistic.
I will predict right now that the Republicans will win the House in 1966, and that we will make substantial gains in the Senate, as well as among the governors. Naturally, I'm expected to say that, because I fought hard in this last campaign, and I want to see our party win. But I think the pendulum has swung so far in one direction that there will be a compensating reaction, and that the Republicans will benefit from that.
Former Vice President Richard Nixon supported his party's candidates in 1964 and campaigned on their behalf. He pleaded with the dissident GOP liberals to rally to the Republican banner, even if they could not rally to the Republican candidates. Nixon believes that the formula for victory for Republicans is in party unity. Without a loyal base of Republican votes, victory is impossible. The lesson of 1964, Nixon preached later, was that only through unity could the GOP bounce back from defeat. Nixon put it this way.
For a party to swing too far in one direction or the other, to be totally liberal or totally and exclusively conservative, is not good for the party and not good for the country, in my opinion. It's very easy after a campaign to say, well, somebody else would have done better. I'm not going to join in the pack who now that the campaign has been lost are jumping on Senator Goldwater. Now what we have to do is to concentrate on repairing the losses, the damage that has been done to the Republican Party, and we do that by winning in 1966.
Others beside Nixon took up the cry of unity. There was Republican Congressman Melvin Laird, a Goldwater man.
We suffered a grievous injury last week in this election, and this is the time for Republicans to unite and rebuild our party. That's why I've asked for a moratorium on this party bickering until such a time as a study can be made by a group that's truly interested in rebuilding our Republican Party.
But to talk about unity and to actually attain it are two horses of very different colors. In his political campaign speeches, when talking about the worldwide threat of communism, Senator Barry Goldwater asked, why not victory? In November 1964, Republicans were asking that same question of themselves. Liberals and moderates pointed the finger of blame at conservatives and what they called extremists. Conservatives blamed the defeat on Republicans who bolted the party. Those mutual accusations and recriminations continue even today, more than a year after the 1964 defeat. They have, in many cases, become deeper and more serious, with some conservatives in the party making subtle moves in the direction of forming their own independent political action groups and raising the very real possibility of a third political force on the American scene. Barry Goldwater himself has been connected with a new Republican group known as the Free Society Association, a society that sticks to the Goldwater philosophy. But Goldwater and others in the Free Society group deny that its goal is to be a third party. On an ABC Issues and Answers program, Goldwater said,
my image, I think, would compare favorably with Bob Taft or Senator Dirksen. I am a conservative. I firmly believe that 85% of the Republican Party are conservative. I think a large number of Democrats are. But certainly I don't want to identify myself with any political organization other than the Republican Party.
The Goldwater philosophy of conservatism, instead of becoming ineffectual in the past year, may still be a strong force in politics. A possible bellwether of that force was seen in New York City in the election for mayor, in which the previously unimportant conservative party was an important factor in the race, in which a Republican liberal, John Lindsay, was elected. Now, Lindsay called himself a nonpartisan fusion candidate and ran with a Democrat and a liberal. He shied away from the Republican label and found himself opposed not only by the Democrats, but by a man named William F. Buckley, Jr., an eloquent spokesman for Goldwater conservatism. Buckley tore into Lindsay, lashing him for Lindsay's bolt of the GOP ticket in 1964 and his refusal to run as a Republican in New York City. In the end, Lindsay was elected. But Buckley's vote, the conservative vote, of more than 300,000 ballots, raised a few eyebrows, not only among the Republicans, but also among the Democrats. Buckley hurt both candidates, and according to him, he made a significant point.
The Conservative Party, thanks to your efforts, has polled a vote vastly in excess of anything that we thought possible in the most liberal city in the world. That vote is a critical vote which will affect the determinations of the politicians in this city and in Albany and in Washington for years to come.
Buckley maintained that his strong showing, although it was for him personally and not for the rest of the conservative slate, has great meaning for the future.
What has made a difference is that thanks to your efforts, we have begun to reintroduce the two-party system to New York City.
Others agreed with Buckley about the shot in the arm for the two-party system in heavily Democratic New York City, but the Republicans said it was their victory, a GOP victory, and no one else's. GOP National Chairman Ray Bliss.
Republicans across the nation should be heartened by the fact that in key cities such as New York, Philadelphia, Louisville, Akron, and many others, we did make gains, thereby providing an impetus to our efforts to strengthen the Republican position in the metropolitan areas of our nation.
A California viewpoint, Republican Senator Thomas Kuchel.
I think it quite fair to say that across this country, the traditional Democratic Party machines have run and conducted the business of municipal government. Thus, we are given a tremendous chance to demonstrate that the Republican Party wants to help solve the pressing immediate concerns of the people in the cities. I think John Lindsay's victory helps to demonstrate that the people of this country will not simply vote on a basis of party label.
Senator Kuchel of California, Ray Bliss, Eisenhower, Scranton, Nixon, all the Republican leaders found reason for hope and optimism in the Lindsay victory in New York City. Now, they said it proved that young and attractive GOP candidates with progressive, liberal ideas could win elections. This, they say, is the political mainstream. The way to victory would be to find candidates within that mainstream. ABC's Murphy Martin asked Governor Rockefeller about the Lindsay victory.
Governor Rockefeller, you said earlier this week that after the election that John Lindsay was presidential timber, or words to that effect. Were you referring to 1968 or 1972?
1972. Because John has shown that the people respect him, like him, trust him. That's his base. He's the kind of man this country's looking for. 85% of the people live in these big cities. They want somebody who understands those problems.
Asked about Lindsay's candidacy on a fusion, non-partisan ticket, Rockefeller said,
the Republican Party's on the way back up. As a matter of fact, they are already back up as a result of this election. As far as fusion is concerned, to have fusion, you got to have something to fuse with. And the big base for this fusion is the Republican vote in New York City that has given John Lindsay the strength.
Rockefeller says, as he said in 1964 before the convention, that the Republican Party must embrace the moderate and liberal causes and cast aside what he calls extremists. In reply, Barry Goldwater says everyone is worrying about the wrong extremists.
There is extremism abroad in America today. It is extremism of the most dangerous brand. It seeks to undermine American foreign policy in a way that will pave the way for a victory for our communist enemies, particularly in Vietnam.
And so the argument over extremism, which was a major factor in the splitting of the Republicans in 1964 and this year, is still a red-hot argument. Rockefeller and other GOP liberals want the extremists drummed out of the party. Goldwater and his following say that the GOP must have as broad a base as possible and that the really dangerous extremists are of the far left. Goldwater says,
it's interesting to me that in all the news stories about draft card burnings, about attempts to impede the movement of troop trains, about leftist groups planning to send supplies to the Viet Cong, the word extremism is almost never used. It almost seems, at least to me, that the press, the radio, and television have agreed to reserve the word extremism for exclusive application to Republican problems.
Goldwater says the Republicans must forget about factional arguments in favor of the greater good. As he sees it, Goldwater says that a solidly unified GOP on a broad political base is the only way to beat the Democrats. And according to Goldwater, the Democrats are vulnerable.
There is no more Democratic National Party. It is controlled by the extreme radical left, those who see nothing wrong with socialism in this country.
And Goldwater finds support for his contention that the Democrats are far more seriously divided. Former Vice President Nixon.
What is happening to the Democratic Party is what happens when any party gets too big a majority. It's beginning to splinter. The Democratic Party is going to be the divided party in 1966, and the Republican Party, if we do our job, will be the united party.
Richard Nixon has steadfastly tried to be the healer within the bloodied and battered GOP. He's made impassioned appeals for party unity, campaigned for candidates of all political striping so long as they were in the Republican column. Nixon was a vigorous campaigner for Goldwater, and he supported John Lindsay of New York. For Nixon, the important thing is not the internal differences within the GOP, but the result at the polls.
We need more Republicans in the House and more Republicans in the Senate for the very reason that the Democrats are divided in their support or lack of support of the strong stand in Vietnam. The Republicans, to their credit, have put their country first and the party second in supporting a strong policy.
For Nixon, the Republican formula for victory is simple.
We have to make the voice of the Republican Party stronger. And that means that to do the job, we need all of the Republicans, not just part of them. Now let's go out and get them all together, and we will make 1966 a Republican year. Thank you.
With important congressional elections less than a year away and the 1968 presidential election already on the horizon, Nixon wants the Republicans to start thinking about winning.
How do you elect the people who can sell this program? First, candidates. Seek them out. The very best team of candidates, the first team, must be fielded. Second, the program. And third, unity for the Republican Party.
Richard Nixon warns his party that unless it buries the hatchet and reaches some kind of truce between the party's factions, defeat is inevitable. Nixon has been preaching that gospel since July 1964, but his party remains as badly split as before. There's strong evidence to indicate that various factions within the Republican Party are more interested in fighting each other than in fighting the Democrats. Republicans seem less concerned with finding the American political mainstream than they are in fighting among themselves in the shallows of partisan backwaters. But it's apparent that Republicans can win elections only by gathering votes from their own ranks, plus votes of Democrats and others. If conservatives decide to go it alone when liberals are nominated, and liberals go it alone when conservatives are nominated, the GOP will cease to be an important political force. It is apparent that if the GOP is bent on suicide through factional warfare, the two-party system as we know it could die. Richard Nixon warns,
if the Republican Party does not have the judgment, does not have the vision to make one party of itself, then there will be only one party in the nation, and it won't be the Republican Party.
The Radio News Department of the American Broadcasting Company has presented In Search of the Mainstream, a look at the Republican Party with ABC News correspondent Baden Langton, written and produced by H. Paul Jeffers, directed by Dennis J. Dennehy, executive producer Nicholas George, production staff Charles Rapp, Dick Martinez, and Cy Kantrowitz. This is Bob Lloyd speaking for ABC Radio News.